This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting out with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn for March finished up 1 cent to 366. May corn was up 1 cent as well at 375 3/4. And July corn was at 384 1/2, up 1 1/4. Soybeans for March were down 2 cents to 901 1/4. May beans were down 2 1/4 cents to 913 3/4. And July beans were at 927 3/4, down 2 1/4 as well. Chicago wheat for March gained back all that it lost yesterday, up 7 1/2 to 454 1/4. May wheat was up 7 1/4 cents to 462 3/4, and July wheat was at 468, up 7 cents. Soybean meal was down 70 cents for March to 305.60. May bean meal was down 50 cents to $310 even. And July bean meal was down 50 cents as well at $313.70. Soybean oil for March was down 5 cents to $29.73. May bean oil was down 6 cents to $30.02. And July bean oil was down 5 cents to $30.36. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Tuesday's Port of Grain Price and Trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Tuesday afternoon as the trade is just waiting for fresh fundamental news. In northern western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 1 to 3 cents at 324 to 351. Soybean bids were down 1 to 2 cents at 827 to 858. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 1 to 4 cents at 338 to 355. Soybean bids were down 1 to 2 cents at 843 to 874. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 2 to 3 cents at 336 to 367. Soybean bids were down 3 cents at 856 to 887. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady to down 2 cents at 869 to 884. Basis is steady to up 2 at 45 under to 30 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 286 to $300 a ton, down 50 cents a ton with basis unchanged at 2400 to 10 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 3 cents higher at 351 to 370 with basis steady to up 2 at 2500 to 6 under the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators coated to producing corn bids 3 cents higher at 352 to 360 with basis up 2 cents at 2400 to 16 under the May. Soybeans ended steady to up 2 at 865 to 872, with basis up 2 to 4 at 4900 to 42 under the May. New crop wheat prices are 6 to 7 cents higher at 438 to 459, with basis steady to down 1 at 30 under to 9 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminals placed their producer corn bids 2 to 4 cents higher at 380 to 382. These elevators raised their soybean prices 2 to 4 cents. Quotations at 903 to 905. Soft wheat closed up 7 to 11 cents at 488 to 492. And Milo ended the day a penny higher at 416 to 417. Contract bids for producers for October and November delivery. Corn in the northern part of the state at 344 to 367. Soybeans at 868 to 894. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 352 to 368. Soybeans at 883 to 911. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 357 to 372. Soybeans at 877 to 908. And June, July wheat at 439 to 465. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle for April were up 47 cents to 128.82. June live cattle were up 5 cents to 119.85. And August live cattle stayed steady at 115.75. Feeders for March were down 32 cents to 140.87. April feeder cattle were down 62 cents at 144.40. And May feeders were down 80 cents at 146.32. April hogs were up 57 cents to 57.90. May lean hogs were at 66.40, up 40 cents. And June lean hogs were up $1.12 to 76.30. And at this time, we'll move on to the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield. for yesterday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 36 cents lower, in a range of 41.50 to 46 and a quarter, with a weighted average carcass price of 44.55. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were steady, with good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 carried sows under 400 pounds traded 30 to 38, 4 to 5 weighted 35 to 41, 5 to 6 weighted 38 to 45, and over 600 pounds, $43 to $50. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts country buying points were steady, with light demand for moderate offerings ranging from $24 to $31. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts today have totaled $20,700. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on live basis traded at $124.75 to $128. Choice heifers on live basis traded at $126.50 to $127. And on a dress basis at $204 to $205. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established, with 472 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $62.59, which is 34 cents lower. The National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $224.04, which is 49 cents higher, while select carcasses were $217.79, which is 58 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 120,000, compared to 118,000 last week and 116,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 478,000, compared to 473,000 last week and 454,000 one year ago. A recap of today's Fairview Sale Barn auction had receipts of 315 slaughter steers choice at 126 to 132.75. Slaughter heifers choice at 125.50 to 131.50. Slaughter cows premium average dressing at $70 to $88. Breakers $54.50 to $65. Boners average dressing at $50.50 to $61. And leans at $41 to $50.50. Slaughter bulls, fed bulls were $98 to $105. And yield grade 1 bulls were $71 to $84. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
At the National Farmers Union Annual Convention this week, one presenter suggests it's time to rethink trade. Michael Stumo from the Coalition for a Prosperous America says the U.S. is funding the rise of other countries, including China, by taking over their produced products.
Other industrial economies overproduce, they underconsume, and we're the one that's eating their overcapacity in goods. And part of this is a real geostrategic problem, not just deindustrializing the U.S., but we're funding the rise of China. We're funding the rise of their military, and they are now taking that money and eroding our economic, military, and geopolitical strength.
With China, he says the go-it-alone approach against China is working.
We've already tried interminable international discussions that went nowhere. Michael Pillsbury, who's a 40-year China diplomat, says that it's a mistake to believe that engagement with China leads to cooperation. We've seen that. We've seen Bush 2. We've seen Obama use strategic and economic dialogue. China promises not to militarize their islands. They promise to stop hacking. They never abide. And the fact is, Europe doesn't have a problem with a trade deficit with China. Japan doesn't. Korea doesn't. It's us who are the ones that are absorbing their and the world. World's overcapacity. We're funding China's rise. We don't need to rely on anyone else. We can act unilaterally rather than multilaterally. It's more effective, and we've seen it now as the president has created leverage with the tariff scenario.
Stumo says the tariffs have benefited the U.S. manufacturing sector. However, farmers have shouldered the burden of the trade war, with China's tariffs targeting U.S. agriculture.
We need a comprehensive agro-industrial strategy because we are now in a world, and have been for a while, of food glut, not scarcity. We have to get away from the view that everyone is dying to buy our goods or our food and fiber products, because they're not. We have a lot of competition, and we're in a world of glut. We need an agro-industrial strategy to handle it and bring wealth back to rural America.
But how would that strategy work?
We would need to have some sort of a supply management program and a price support program. We're nowhere near that politically, and a lot of people have real ideological problems with that. But the fact is, individual farmers cannot control supply. They cannot adjust their behavior to manage supply or price. And so if we're going to have a rural America that is not a ghetto, we have to ditch our old ideological hang-ups and find something that works to get our food and fiber supply chain back to a wealth-producing footing.
That's Michael Stumo of the Coalition for a Prosperous America. During a time when cattle producers are watching every dollar closely, one factor that should not be overlooked is reproductive health. Michael Clemens reports.
Breeding season itself presents plenty of challenges, but skipping out on pre-breeding vaccinations could pose major consequences. Every calf is valuable, and every single delay in conception can be costly. Dr. Peggy Thompson, professional services veterinarian at Boehringer Ingelheim, offers insights on what you can do to improve the reproductive health of your herd. She explains the steps producers should take to mitigate breeding challenges.
The producers, when they think about getting their cows bred, they need to think about the diseases that could cause abortions in their herd. And some of those diseases could be like viruses like IBR or BVD. Then there's certainly also bacteria like lepto and Brio.
For producers who might think pre-breeding vaccinations are not worth their investment, Thompson says not using the vaccine puts your herd at risk.
The goal of any operation would be to get a cow pregnant and to keep her pregnant so that we get a live calf on the ground. And a lot of the diseases that those cows can run into, viruses or bacteria, certainly can affect infertility, so those cows would not get pregnant, or they could get pregnant and they could lose the calf. And so if we want to get that cow pregnant and keep her pregnant, then we need to protect her against all of the diseases that she could potentially run across. And the best time to get that done is to get that vaccine into her prior to getting her bred.
She says the best time for vaccinating is within 30 to 60 days of breeding.
And the reason for that is, for one, once you give a vaccine, to get optimal protection, it takes about 2 weeks before you can get that optimal immunity from that vaccine. So we really want to get that in prior to, obviously, breeding, but we also don't want that animal to be too stressed or anything around breeding. So get the vaccine, let it do what it's supposed to do as far as helping to stimulate that immune system to prevent disease, then let that animal get back into its normal routine of cycling and coming into estrus and then going on into breeding. So 30 to 60 days is the recommended time period.
Learn more online at www.boehringer-ingelheim.com. Michael Clements reporting.
In local news, Scott Gaffner of Greenville is one of six at-large directors of the Illinois Soybean Association. Those six directors, along with 18 state district directors, advocate for Illinois soybeans every day. Last week, Scott attended the Commodity Classic in Orlando, Florida, and was able to promote Illinois soy on a national level.
This was actually my first experience at the Commodity Classic, so with the Illinois Soybean Association, some of the key issues that we were focused on were the innovation solutions and technology, policy, and some industry leadership and direction. And I can kind of go in a little bit more in depth on what that means. We had one of our board member directors was actually on the blockchain panel at the Commodity Classic. And the panel was, can blockchain deliver real value to farmers? And this was in the innovation solutions and technology aspect of why we went down there. And within the soybean industry, you know, we're trying to understand if blockchain and how blockchain can be a benefit to our farmers. You know, we're always trying to, with the Illinois Soybean Checkout Program, trying to educate buyers about the advantages of Illinois soybeans, you know, our supply, the quality, it's a sustainable product, and all these attributes. But we're also wanting to educate our farmers on how they can be more profitable as well with new technologies that are coming forward. And we're just looking to see if blockchain can be one of those drivers that can enhance that profitability.
And at the same time, also with that profitability, you have the China tariffs on the other hand. So while we might have some of the best quality beans in the country, can't really make any money off of it if they can't be exported.
No, that's correct. I mean, and that was, you know, with the one of the other prongs of the industry leadership and direction that we were down there for. you know, we had those discussions at the American Soybean Association policy meeting. And, you know, our emphasis is that we get this trade dispute resolved. You know, we want trade. We don't want aid to come from our government. And so we just encouraged the staff members with ASA as they are moving forward with the direction to within the members of Congress and within the members of the state legislature as well to just get these resolutions, to get this trade war resolved so then we can have some free and fair trade moving forward with China. You know, this is our biggest buyer of Illinois soybeans. You know, if we look at Illinois as a country, you know, Illinois is the fourth largest producing country in the world. If we were a country, we would be behind the U.S., Brazil, and Argentina. And that just shows how much soybeans we produce. And then we export about 60% of those soybeans, with China buying anywhere from 25% to a third of our soybeans that we export. So China is a big deal. We have got to get this taken care of as quick as we can before it does more harm to our farmers, because they are a large consumer of Illinois soybeans.
With that, this latest harvest, it was, I believe, the best harvest on record for Illinois for on the yield side of things. So when you've got that too, and you've got a big flooded market as well, I'm sure that probably puts a little bit more urgency on trying to get this done as well.
No, absolutely. You know, this was a record year for our farm, our multi-generational farm over in Greenville. And we were just very happy with the results, but discouraged on the other end because of the fact of this tariff war going on with China pushing the prices down. You know, this year we had over 698 million bushels of soybeans produced in Illinois, becoming the number one producing state again in the nation for soybeans. And so, you know, it's and we are hit even harder in Illinois just because we have a lower amount of livestock within the state of Illinois, and they're the number one consumer of our soybeans. And so that's why we export so many soybeans to China, because they have such large supply of hogs over there. So we have got to resolve this as quick as we can, just for the sake of our own Illinois farmers.
And too, kind of coming back to the livestock side, there's been a few livestock facilities, mainly hog facilities, in the area that have kind of been coming around, and I'm sure that would help the make up the difference there, but there would probably have to be quite a bit more of those livestock facilities that would have to be brought up to make up for the amount of soybeans that China buys.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to encourage as many livestock facilities as we can within the state of Illinois. We actually would like the climate within Illinois to be a little bit more inviting for these farmers. You know, hogs eat nearly 79% of the soybean meal fed in Illinois. Poultry consumes about 15%, and dairy and beef cows consume about another 6%. So that tells you, I mean, especially these hog confinement facilities, they are such a large consumer of our soybean products. We'd love to have more of these facilities within Illinois here, and we just want to encourage that to occur more frequently if we can.
With this upcoming cropping year, what is the Soybean Association looking forward to this upcoming next crop year?
You know, one of the key things we're trying to do, like I mentioned, was just to help ensure that the farmers have all the tools they need to be as profitable as they can be. You know, one of the things we're also trying to work on is to ensure that the transportation, modes of transportation, are easily accessible, that there are roads and bridges, infrastructures, as well as the waterways, because we are heavily dependent upon the river waterways to get our soybeans down to Louisiana and out. So we want to ensure that all these kind of endeavors through the legislative means are taken care of so that we have good ways to transport our soybeans to the market. And so those are some of the key things that we're trying to do as we're moving forward into this next year.
And again, that was Scott Gaffner, director with the Illinois Soybean Association. Moving on with local events going on in the area, Tuesday, March 19th, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau will be hosting a Farmers Share Soup Luncheon. You'll have your choice of chili or potato soup, along with dessert and a drink. The luncheon will take place at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau office on the historic Courthouse Square in Hillsboro. and it will only cost you 60 cents per meal. That cost comes from statistics that show that a farmer would only earn 60 cents from the ingredients used to make one bowl of chili. Again, that luncheon will take place on Tuesday, March 19th from 11 till 1 at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro. Then the following morning, on Wednesday, March 20th, HSHS St. Francis Hospital, along with their Agriculture Committee, will be hosting a farm family event at the Lincoln Land Community College in Litchfield. Breakfast will be served at 7:45 a.m., and that will be provided by the Litchfield Family Practice Center. Speakers for the morning will include David Pritchard of Kerber Eckenbreckel of Litchfield, as well as Matt Roberts of the Kernmantle Group, that will talk about current trade negotiations, the farm bill, grain and livestock supply and demand, and what it means for farmers as they make decisions. If you'd like to attend, you must pre-register by March 13th by calling Megan Bertolino at 324-8206. This event is free of charge as a thank you to the farming community. And finally, coming up on Saturday, March the 23rd, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders has teamed up with Victory Lane Ford and the Litchfield Walmart for the Fill a Ford Food Drive. Victory Lane has kindly allowed one of their pickup trucks to be used as the vehicle to fill food with. The Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be at Walmart in Litchfield from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. asking for donations of food. Once the day is through, all food collected from this food drive will be donated to local food banks. Again, that food drive will take place on Saturday, March the 23rd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Walmart in Litchfield. For this Wednesday morning, March the 6th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.